I just want, before I read some verses I want to read to you, I'd just like to tell you a little bit about what we do in San Luis Potosí, what exactly we consider our ministry and how we go about. I'm a preacher. I preach the gospel in the streets and in the downtown plazas of San Luis Potosí. Our purpose in preaching, or at least my purpose in preaching, is to proclaim the gospel to everybody that can hear. And second of all, to reach people that are interested and want to continue having Bible studies and meet with us.
Amen.
And so that's what we do. And here they're now street preaching. But what we do is knock on the doors on one block, give them all a gospel track, and tell them that we're going to be preaching out in the street. And then we stand in the middle of the street and we preach the gospel. And we look for neighborhoods with small houses where no matter what doors they shut or what small radios they turn on, they're still going to hear us over top of all that. So that's what we do there. And then, of course, I do that to be well balanced. I don't necessarily enjoy street preaching, but I do it because I don't want to ignore people that you won't find in the downtown. And the nighttime, and in San Luis, we do it very often. We preach downtown almost every night of the week, five nights a week. We do that about at night. And that's what I enjoy doing. I really like downtown plaza preaching. We go down there and anything happened. We've had anywhere from 400 people down to nobody. And it's not like just in the first couple months we get a lot of people. All of a sudden, for some reason, there'll be people coming through and all of a sudden we'll have people everywhere. And so that is very exciting for me. And also because everybody that goes to our meetings comes from downtown. So I see there's a lot of fruit that comes from the downtown preaching. We've had some Bible studies just recently. I've been preaching in the streets of San Luis Potosí for 4 years. Every morning. And I haven't got any Bible studies until just a couple months ago. It's the first Bible study I've gotten from this preaching in the streets after 4 years. And still nobody has ever come to the meetings from the streets. But from downtown, we get Bible studies every night. We get debates every night. We get people coming down with their Bibles to argue with us. And then they get saved. They start going to the meetings. So almost everybody is from the downtown. And those that aren't are from the families of the people from downtown. We haven't got anybody from the other things. The young ladies in our church, they door knock every Friday. They go out every Friday for about an hour and a half, and they go through neighborhoods door knocking. Sometimes neighborhoods where we got them preaching, they'll go through and door knock and try to talk to people. And they've had a few people come to the meetings from there. The young people of our church, they meet every Saturday. And every other Saturday, we go out to ranches, little villages on the outskirts of San Luis, about an hour out, and we preach in the downtown plazas there or in the streets. Pass out tracts to them all. And after we get most of our opposition, because in the villages, people are very fanatically Catholic. One of the brothers, just the Saturday before I came, he got beat up and he got kicked around. And the problem was he went and preached on the street where they're going to start out their big procession for the Virgin. And he stood right in front of where the Virgin was parked. And right there on the side of the street, it was parked there on a little table. And they had flowers to it and they were getting their candles lit. And they dropped the candles and came out and just beat the tar out of him. And he went back all bruised, but very happy. It was a big deal to them to be able to get beat up for Christ. He was just, we were all happy that I wasn't there filming it, because they probably would have beat us all up. But it goes very well. And there's a lot of people that listen. For those you don't know, our church is completely, made up of youth. I'm the oldest one there. I am the elder. That's me. No, I'm not the oldest one there, but I am one of them. I am up on top of the totem pole in that church. We just now got a couple that came from another city so they're the first couple we really have that we have brought in from out there. We have one other couple that meets with us that broke off from Selene, and they're coming to meet with us. But the ones that we've gone out, we've reached them and brought them in that we had no knowledge of them. There's only one couple. Everyone else is youth. But we're very thankful for that. Talking about young men who have been preaching now three nights a week for 4 years. Very faithful men. They're not your average run-of-the-mill kids, punk kids. They are faithful men. They have been very faithful. One of them is Luis, and he preached. Right now he's working, so he's cut back down to only about three nights a week. But he was preaching every morning and three nights a week also, and he did that for 2 years. And so we're very thankful for the people we have. They're very well-founded in doctrine. Now they just need to mature and get married. And they agree. They're looking for wives. Especially American wives, for some reason. Anyways. So that's about what we're doing in San Luis Potosí, and that's about how we're going. I plan on moving in March. I plan on leaving to Querétaro to join Adrian, and my dad will be staying. We're not sure yet how long, maybe a year, maybe two, and then he'll be moving on to join us in Querétaro also. We don't want to appoint one of these single guys yet. We really would rather appoint a married man, a couple of them, before we leave. And so that's what's really holding us back, that we want them to mature, we want them to get through the girlfriends and we want them to get married and get things settled down before we go off and dish on them the responsibility of taking care of a church. So that's where we're at in San Luis Potosí. You turn to 1 Corinthians 15:58, please. Scriptures tell us, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your laboring is not in vain in the Lord. Why don't we pray before we start? Lord, I pray that you would give us all wisdom. You give me wisdom and give me the words to say, that you would guide us and that we would understand your word the way you would have us. And Lord, in the name of your Son, amen. People, when I talk to people about missions, not necessarily from this church, but from other churches, one of the big things they have problem with missionaries is they consider a waste to a degree to send money down to help these people that they don't think are doing anything. They think they're down there vacationing. That's why it's very hard for me to tell you that after Querétaro, I plan on going to Acapulco to be a missionary. I don't think very many of you people would buy that. That's why missionaries in Acapulco have to live outside of Acapulco and have their mailing addresses out there. They figured it'd be very hard for someone to believe that they are missionaries in Cancun. You know, it would be kind of hard. You know, we always make fun of people that say they're going to Hawaii or somewhere to be a missionary. And, you know, to a degree, we ought to be concerned about waste. When Jesus broke the bread and multiplied it, and then he said, now pick up what was left. And so we ought to be concerned. But, you know, I've noticed one thing, that these people are not concerned about waste until it comes to missions. They throw away so much garbage, or actually good stuff that they consider garbage, just pitch it all. They go and just give away clothes that they've worn three times. So I see, you know, to a degree, they are being, they're not being sincere. If they were really concerned about waste, I think they would live differently. I don't think they would have four big plastic garbage cans if they were really concerned about waste. But I would like to just take and see some verses and explain why I don't think that what we do is a waste. Why I think it is worthwhile investment. And what we see Paul telling us here is that we know that what we labor for is not in vain. That's the only areas. If it's a waste, you should be a good steward of what you have, don't you think? You should take care of your money. You should do well with it. You shouldn't just blow it like many times I do on stupidities like laptop computers or, you know. we ought to be careful with what we have. Well, I'd like to go through some verses and see why missions are not a waste. I don't believe they are. I believe it's worthwhile to support missionaries. And I support missionaries. I think it is the best thing I can do with my money. What else am I going to do with it? If I was to hoard all the money I had, what am I going to do with it? Produce an engineer out of my son? I consider it more worthwhile to take a little bit at least and give to the Lord. And like I've always been taught, and I preach also, that I believe Christians should give more than 10%. I believe if you give 10%, that is kind of tight. That's my belief. I'm not trying to force anybody on it. That's what I believe, and so that's how my conscience dictates to me to act. But I think it's worthwhile. I don't regret anything I've given to the mission work. And there's some reasons why I'd like to go through why I see that so. The first reason, let's read in Isaiah 61:1. First reason is because we are proclaiming freedom. And as any good American would know, freedom is worth anything. They'll spend millions of dollars and waste millions of lives to obtain freedom for a little bitty country. When we're all the way across the world, they fly over. What for? For freedom for some certain people. Well, you know, living under a king may be bad, but it's not near as bad as living under the tyranny of sin and death. And we're out proclaiming freedom. That's what I believe the first thing missionaries should do is they should be out proclaiming freedom. 61:1 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. This isn't talking about going out and going to the San Luis Potosí jail with some plastic explosives and getting everybody out. This isn't talking about freeing slaves. I'm not for slavery. But let me tell you, I'm not called to free carnal slaves. The anointing God has given me as a missionary, as a preacher, is to go out and proclaim that you don't have to live under death and sin. You can be free because Christ won your freedom. And that's why Paul says, if you are a slave, remain a slave. But if you know that spiritually you're free. And that all free men carnally are bound to Christ as his servants. You know, a lot of missionaries that I know get off on going to the Huasteca, a place like Chiapas, and trying to preach that, you know, let your slave go. But that's not what we find in the Bible. You want to do that? I can't judge you, but I can say what God has called me to do is to preach freedom. Amen. And I believe that spiritual freedom is worth the sacrifice. Amen. I believe freedom, if one soul finds freedom, it was worth three dying in the jungles. We find all these cases of these new tribe missionaries, and they got them hanging up in the bulletin boards, and they die. They kill them. And if you would ask them now, was it worth it? They'd say, yes, it was worth it. These people are blind. I got a video of that same ranch. They're walking around with their candles and their flowers, and they got their virgin, they're carrying it, they're singing to it. It's a little statue. And when we stand up on the Word of God, and we say, you know, you don't have to serve these things. You don't have to give your money to have it. This is a little ranch of about 400 people, and there's three churches in it. Who do you think paid for the churches? Whose slave labor do you think built the churches? You got the priests that are coming up with all these little images that cry and that turn their head and who knows what else. And you know where they get what for? To steal the people's money. And you think if we came with the Bible and said, look, that isn't of God. God says if you have freely received it, give it freely. God has shown you, the priests have their holy water. And they say if you don't baptize your child and he dies, well, who knows? Not a son of God. But they don't give it away. You want to baptize your kid? You have to pay to baptize your child. You'd think if the priest was a man of God, he would take buckets of that stuff and go house to house and baptize them babies for free. And yet when we come with the Bible to say, look, you don't have to be under this bondage. They get mad and they beat up the preacher. But if one soul finds his way out of this blind, dark, free slavery, it's worth it. It's not a waste. It is not a waste because we're speaking of freedom. We're not speaking of tiddlywinks, and that's why when we go down, we don't give out shoes, because shoes wear out. I don't believe giving shoes to poor kids is worth the money you people have spent for mission. I don't believe buying buildings for churches is worth the money. You know, right now is the time to buy buildings in Mexico. I could buy out downtown, whole blocks of those right downtown and make huge buildings down there, because everybody's selling cheap. Such a financial crunch. But it wouldn't be worth the money. But freedom is. And when you go down and you see, I don't live in the States, I can't say how it is, but I do live in Mexico, and I've lived there most of my life. And I see the blindness that they walk in. Slavery to their priests, and to their popes, and to their virgins and saints. People telling them stuff like, if you change religions, God's gonna kill you or strike you down, it's sin, and tell them all kinds of superstition. And now you understand why the apostles walked in the cities and saw their idolatry and their superstition, and were vexed and felt sorry for these people, and preached the gospel to them. It's a matter of freedom. Another reason why it's not a waste, because what we do is eternal. You know, I was saying buildings and shoes, those things aren't eternal. You clothe him, you feed him, you put him in a house, that little kid, and he grows up and he goes to hell. And what good did it do? What have you done? What have you accomplished? You buy a big church building, a crystal one. You have big stained glass windows, and then God burns it up. What have you accomplished? You know, when it comes down, 1 Corinthians 3 comes to pass, there's going to be a whole lot of weeping and a whole lot of sorrow because people have not accomplished much. They have spent a lot of money. They could go and say, well, Lord, look at our books. Look how much went out. But where did it go? What did you accomplish with what went out? What have you done? Let's read a verse, John 15:16. See what the will of the Lord is. It says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. He says, I've ordained you that you should go out and bear fruit and that your fruit should what? Remain. that should be eternal. That should be something that you can approach heaven and say, these people are my joy and my crown. Do you have crowns? Can you say, look, these people, when I die and everything goes to chaos in Mexico, and the bandidos take over and they run missionaries out, but there's going to be people here that I won. And when they kill them, I'll see them in the gates of glory. Can you say that? I think we can. I know we can. I go down and I see Leon and I say, you know what? The money that 602 spent was not a waste. We didn't waste the money. It was a big church and they're sending out missionaries. They don't need no American funding. And they don't need missionaries going down to tell them what to do. They're a self-governing church. That's worth it. It's definitely worth it. If that was the only case, it'd be worth it. But it isn't. You're talking about churches in Salamanca, Querétaro, Celaya. All over the center of Mexico, churches start. And 10 years ago, there was one. Now there's six. It's worth it. And if we could get those churches to send out missionaries also, well, you know what? They're pretty soon going to be six a year spurting up. We can win Mexico. I tell you, it's not a waste. It's not useless. There's another reason. Let's look in 1 Corinthians 15:14. It says, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. And it says in verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. It says, our preaching is vain, our faith is in vain, if Christ is not risen. The catch is, Christ is risen.
Amen.
That means our preaching is not in vain.
Yeah.
You know, I heard, and I've heard it many times, what we have that others do not, or what they have, I'm sorry, what they have that we do not have, is they have a grave. We don't. You're right. Religions have something we do not have. They have a dead prophet, and we do not. We have a resurrected Lord. One who gave His life, not because death brought it upon Him, but because He willed to save us from death. Death did not come and take Him. He took death by death. And because of that, our preaching isn't in vain. We're not preaching somebody who could just write a short little book. He not only wrote a book, but He gave it authority and power by resurrecting. And that's why the Bible says, if we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. The power of salvation is resurrection. And we have the resurrection. And we should preach the resurrection, because in the resurrection gives validity to our preaching. If we're preaching Jesus loves you, that's great, but let me tell you, we need to be preaching that Jesus Christ died and resurrected to conquer over religion and over tradition, and to take a sinful man and transform him and convert him.
Amen.
And Christ can do it.
Amen.
And it's because of that power and power of the resurrection that what we do is not a waste. There's one other thing I'd like to mention, Philippians 2:15. It says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labor in vain. Now since I was 13, I've been preaching in the streets. Means I've been preaching 8 years. And I've seen the brothers run across a lot of people that don't last very long. That start out, we had a young man that started coming to the meetings and started wanting to preach, and the next thing you know, he had stabbed his wife in the park. I mean, these kind of stories just don't really lift me up. I mean, they just don't give me a lot of confidence in the people that I'm attracting. I was very leery of any offers that came up and said, hey, do you know such and such a person? Oh, I don't know. You know, they start throwing their wives and daughters out windows and stuff, and, you know, that don't give me a lot of confidence. But there's some people that say, you know what, it's worth it. When you see people that go on and they win souls themselves, and they live amidst many tribulations and problems and overcome temptation. Oh, that makes it worth it. I know Brother Lindell's seen it here, and the brothers that started the church in Leon have seen it there, and I've seen it a little bit in our church. You get these brothers like Luis and Beto preach for 4 years and overcome temptations that come along the way. I can't say what they'll be doing in another 4 years, but I can say up to now, I haven't labored in vain. I see some fruit. I see some really good fruit. And that makes it worth it. It makes it worth it. And that's what Paul's saying here. He says, hold forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain. You know, and this is also a twofold message where I'd like to conclude. Not only, I say this as a missionary, that I seek for people to do this, to give me this joy, and to one day I be able to present myself in the day of Christ and say, this is what I've done. You don't have to go to no money books. Right here. Visible people. Real people saved because of my ministry. Here they are, Lord. This is what I have done. This is the outcome. A lot of people talk to how much they spent, but how much, what have you made? This is what we have done. This is it. This is the sum of my life right here. But not only that, you got to remember, you aren't the first Christian to walk the earth. Somebody won you. Somebody won you. Are you going to give them any joy in the day of Christ? When they get to this judgment seat of Christ, are they going to say, oh Lord, I know, that was a real disgrace there. He started out real good, but he didn't end at all, did he? And somebody won me. And I was taught the doctrines of Christ by many men sitting in this room. So now it's my responsibility. Now a monkey's on my back. Am I going to bring them joy in the day of Christ? And that's the question you ask yourself.